I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Welcome to Home and Away, our special podcast series here on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed, as well as YouTube channel, where we're essentially focusing on bringing in guests who are within the game of basketball, be that in media, be that players, be that head coaches as well, to get a different perspective on the game and what we should be looking for and evaluating as scouts. This is your guest host here, Nathan Grubel, joined by someone who I'm honored to be in his presence today, somebody who's been around the game of basketball at a high level for a long time, someone who knows this game inside and out. Another person within the Ignite program is going to help give a little bit of context as to the level of play within the G League, as well as some of the major prospects we're likely to hear called, a lot of them in the first round on draft night in June. Head coach of G League Ignite, Coach Jason Hart. Coach Hart, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good, brother. Happy to be here on the show, man. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So I'm going to jump right in here. So like I said, Coach, you have plenty of experience around the game. I mean, you played at a major university in Syracuse. You were drafted to the NBA yourself. You've been a head coach at multiple levels since 2011. So bringing us from the start of your career up to where you are now, just high-level view, how have you watched the game of basketball change and evolve throughout the years you've been involved in the game?
Well, the game is going to always evolve because the nature of the athletes evolve. I think these guys are getting bigger, faster, stronger. And then as in time, the game is getting better. You're playing it from a more skilled point of view. You're utilizing the three-point line. And so now big men are shooting threes. And so as we continue to evolve as humans, fortunately, the game of basketball will continue to grow because it's something new every day, not every year, every day. And so I see the game in a beautiful place. It's continued to grow, and it's enriching the lives of everybody, not on the court, but off the court as well.
Absolutely. That's what's so fascinating about basketball, as you mentioned, changing literally every day. There's always something new to learn and dig into and discuss, which is a big reason why I want to be so involved in this game for a long time. So what are some of the lessons you've learned as a player that helped you find success as an assistant coach and now head coach of the Ignite program?
Well, some of the lessons, you know, you take from playing to coaching is do your best every day. You know, be where your feet are, give your all. And I think your work ethic, it always take over at times where you're inexperienced at certain things. So I just think if you have a tremendous work ethic on and off the court, that will get you through your tough times. And it'll also help you dig deeper in the game of basketball so you can find the answers. So it's always work ethic for me.
I love you talking about work ethic and some of the things that we can discuss about players off the court as well, right? Those human elements to the game. I think sometimes when we see discourse in other areas, sometimes we lose the sight that there's humans playing the game of basketball, right? It's not robots playing this game. It's humans. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more that goes into it than just how you shoot the ball or how you're looking to defend someone. So I'm assuming with that answer, work ethic, which is, it's going to be a common topic as we talk about some of the players you've had the pleasure of coaching. But if a player is recruited and ultimately signs with the Ignite program, right, what are some of the values and habits that they're going to be coached on both ends of the floor? In other words, players can expect what when they play for you, Coach Hart?
Well, when they play for me, they're going to get somebody who's going to be very honest and direct with them, but also somebody who, first and foremost, trying to see their dreams come true. I'm not in a contest. I'm not trying to win the Big Ten championship, or I'm not trying to appease a certain booster. My only job is to align myself with your dream and bring a level of energy and professionalism every day to work and allow my young men to grow on and off the court and know that the coach that's behind them is pushing nothing but positive in them and allowing them to grow and understand the game of basketball and understand the game of life as well.
I love that answer, because that whole mantra of growth, it's so prevalent within the Ignite program, in my opinion, really these last 2 years. And certainly, I know we're going to get into the prospects that are relevant for this draft. That's what everyone's listening to the podcast to. They want your thoughts on those guys. But I also just want to quickly discuss last year's group of Ignite prospects, right? So these guys are all finding success early on in their careers in one way or another, right? Dyson Daniels showed some really great flashes on court for the Pelicans this year. Marjon Beauchamp got legitimate minutes for a Bucks team that was hoping to compete for a championship. Jaden Hardy, his shot chart, coach, man, his shot chart was red every single place he shot the basketball this past year. And then Michael Foster, another one of the guys you don't hear his name mentioned a lot, but he just won a G League championship with Delaware, for crying out loud. So all of these guys are already finding success early on in their careers. But how much growth were you able to see in those guys from start to finish last year? How did they grow into the players they are in your eyes?
Well, you know, it's crazy now they're in the NBA and they've moved on. You're playing against NBA basketball players every night. Mm-hmm. I think the problem with Team Ignite, just from the general fan or person with knowledge of the G League, they equate the G League as not having good players. Mm-hmm. And I tell everybody who listens, the G League is a place where billionaire owners send their players to get tutelage and to develop and get better. Ignite is a place where I take 17-year-old and 18-year-olds and play against those guys. So my guys are competing against high-level talent every game. Mm-hmm. If I was the head coach at, Auburn, I don't have any bye games. I'm not playing HBCU. I'm not playing a team from a lower conference, Liberty. They don't get that. So my guys, and speaking of last year, their first game, they played against James Wiseman, Jonathan Kuminga, Moses Moody. And so regardless of where you get drafted at nowadays, mm-hmm. lottery picks venture into the G League because it's a development for everybody. And so my players will always be ready because they're playing against high-level competition every night and they're learning how to be competitive every night. And so that's the biggest part in their development, is their growth, because they know they have to be ready to play every night. And we don't do no load management. So it only intensifies their understanding of what this job entails. And mm-hmm. quite frankly, they'd be ready for it.
What goes into preparing these guys for the start of a season within the G League? Because to your point, Coach, I'm so glad that we are talking about the competition level of the league you're coaching. And it's not like we're even at a high major college conference where, yeah, you have some NBA players on those rosters, absolutely. But not every single player on that team is likely going to make it in the NBA, whereas the G League is full of players who have either been there, who have a very good chance of getting there, or have already found success in other professional leagues. And they're coming in trying to get a piece of that pie in terms of the NBA. So what goes into preparing those young guys to come into that season and grind against players of that caliber?
Yeah, I'm happy you said that, because you may have one pro in one conference. So mm-hmm. if I'm at the SEC, Calipari may have one pro at Kentucky and Auburn and Vanderbilt, and the list of schools don't have any. And so mm-hmm. the level of competition is not there on a daily basis. But some of the things that we try to get our young guys when they first get here to get acclimated to being a pro. And that's like every day. You know, you got to come in at 8 a.m. You got to eat your breakfast. You got to, you know, lift your weights. Got to get to the court, get your skill development, practice. Then after practice, we do it again after skill. And then, you know, it's the cardio, it's the conditioning. They're going from high school, where a lot of these kids that we are getting for our program, they don't have shot clocks. And high school basketball. Mm-hmm. And so these guys have to come in and get used to a 24-second shot clock game, which is much faster, is more possessions. And then they have to be in high-level in shape, conditioning. One thing we're not going to change and never, if you're 17 years old, like Scoop, you're going to be young, so you're going to be inexperienced. Mm-hmm. One thing we do control and try to control is their conditioning. I think that's very important, being that they are going to be young players. It's going to be full of mistakes. But if they have the will and the conditioning, they'll be able to fight through longer, and it allows them to play through a lot of their mistakes.
Absolutely. And conditioning, you hit it right on the head, right? Playing at the faster pace that you guys do in the G League compared to college teams. I mean, that has to be there 100%. Love that answer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So one fascinating storyline from last season, from my perspective, looking inwards, Pooh Jenner and I, we talked about this when I had him on the podcast. Shout out to Pooh. He was one of the best podcast guests I've ever had on, period. Jaden Hardy was a top five high school recruit before he came to play for Ignite, right? And he had a lottery level draft stock preseason. He ended up going far later than I would have projected him to. All of us at No Ceilings, we had him as a lottery pick the entire cycle, and we didn't really see reason to back off of that, but he didn't go certainly where we projected him, despite overcoming struggles in a professional league like we're talking about. So I have to do my due diligence and ask, in your opinion or estimation, why do you feel like he dropped and where maybe he didn't go where he probably should have gone in the draft?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if I had Kobe Bryant at 17 years old, you know, with all the moves and all the different styles of play that he had, you come in and see what you have. And so this is a place where these talented young players, Jay was only 19, he missed a year of COVID. And so he got judged hard. And mm-hmm. The problem with NBA scouts sometimes evaluating our guys, I think they forget that they're 19 and 18 too. And so since they're coming to a professional game, they looking for a professional right now. Well, if Jaden Hardy wouldn't have went to Gonzaga playing against, you know, no disrespect to the teams in that league, he would average 20 points easy. But he averaged 20 points versus NBA guys. And so I think they overjudged him. You know, he was still a young player, still getting better. And they overjudged. That happens in the NBA. And so Jaden's sliding in the draft, my next group won't slide, because these teams understand that these guys are NBA ready. And Jaden, it's a list of guys right now I can call out that got drafted before him that spent the whole season in the G League. And so that's just plain and simple. He was better than where he got drafted, and he will continue to show that. And at the end of the day, when it's time for a new contract, he will be able to compare himself to the guys that got drafted ahead of him.
So this year's class, right, you had a very talented group of prospects that you were able to coach this season. Obviously, it starts with Scoot Henderson. We'll certainly get to him in a second, but also Leonard Miller, C.D. Sissoko, Mojave King. You know, these guys, we talked about how difficult it can be to come into a professional league and make that immediate jump right away, right? To obviously putting up, you know, 20 points or 25 points, whatever the case may be. It's a different league, different style of play. You have to be able to adapt and adjust. But these guys, I'm curious as to if you can point to a certain time in the season where you could point to and be like, yeah, that's when these guys definitely came out of the shell. Like, this is when they proved they were ready. This is when they proved they were first round picks. Because to me, I get that they may have had some moments trying to adapt and evolve throughout the season, but these guys came to play, in my opinion, right out of the gate. And I really feel like that there wasn't really a point that I can definitively point to and say these guys were missing a beat or it took them this long to adjust. Like, this group to me just seemed like a fantastic group for you to be able to coach. But was there any point in time where you're like, yeah, this is when it definitely clicked for these guys. This is when I knew they were ready to step up to this competition in this league.
Well, for me, man, it always starts with their work ethic. Like, you're going to have struggles. Like, James Harden just struggled the other day in Joel Embiid, right? That's just normal. It's basketball. So the only thing you rely on is the work ethic. So we flew all those guys over here the month of August, and they got the training right after it. And the intensity in their workouts and their preparation was second to none. They worked extremely hard every single day. And, you know, for them to show me that level of competitiveness and work ethic, I always know that they will do well, because what they don't understand, as long as they keep working hard, it's going to all even itself out. And then the turning point for them, it always comes when guys are learning to play the pro basketball game. It normally comes after Christmas. Mm-hmm. Once after Christmas came, their individual success started to take off. Now, a lot of people say, well, we don't win games. Well, Detroit Pistons didn't win games. San Antonio didn't win games. Charlotte didn't win games. So they're developing. It's hard to win and develop. Now, a lot of people say, well, these guys are putting up numbers, but they're not winning. Keldon Johnson for the San Antonio Spurs put up numbers. Are we saying Greg Popovich can't coach?
Of course not.
My point.
Of course not, man.
Exactly. Greg Popovich is developing, just like Ignite. I think a lot of times they say, like, our players' numbers are like fluff. Well, when you're developing talent, you're going to lose games. We're no different than all these teams who was developing to try to get the number one pick, what they do every year. Mm-hmm. So I just think that while my guys are developing, they're playing against high-level competition, and their work ethic prior to the season start always indicate what type of talent they're going to be. And it's a testament to Sharif, Rod Strickland, you know, you're bringing the players in, but also evaluating them and finding kids with a chip on their shoulder and understanding that this is pro ball and I'm not always going to play good, but my mind and my heart is in it. And that's the type of young man we look for.
I'm going to reference it with Leonard and CD Shirley as we get to them in a second. But what you just said about there is a point that the light switch, it definitely flips on, right? And you can see it in February and March in particular when Leonard went on the stretch that he did and City went on the stretch that he did. And it's funny how I don't think there were enough eyes on the Ignite program last year during the months of February and March. And it's funny how when there are more people watching the games and more people paying attention, you see the stocks of some of these guys rise. So that's another reason why I wanted to have that conversation. But let's get into the players themselves. So Scoot Henderson, right? He's currently second overall on my big board, as well as plenty others in the space. However, there have been a wave of scouts and analysts who have moved Alabama's Brandon Miller ahead of him in the rankings. And I don't bring up this conversation to necessarily disparage or look down on anything that Brandon did this year. He's third overall on my board. I think he's a spectacular talent. But what I've been able to see from Scoot, Coach, it's not just what he's done on the court. Every single thing I hear about Scoot off the court is that he's going to do everything in his power to be the best version of himself. And he just, everything exuding out of him is leadership. And for me, if I'm in a position where I'm drafting first or second overall, that's the type of player that I would want to bring into my organization. But, you know, listeners to this podcast, they don't just have to take my word for it. This is why you're here, Coach. You got to work with him every single day. What can you tell the audience about the type of man that Scoot Henderson is and what NBA teams will be getting from him wherever he gets drafted in June?
Yeah, well, he was from day one, the first time I met him was last year at Walnut Creek. 17 years old. He has a disposition as if he's like a 30-year-old, meaning like he was very mature for his age. He understands and knows what he wants in his life, and his work ethic is second to none. I mean, he's a total gym rat. Basketball is the most important thing to him. And when you factor that on the talent level that he have, you're going to get a crazy competitor and someone who has a talent that sky's the limit. And so to your previous point about, you know, two on your board and three on your board, at the end of the day in the NBA, everybody gets drafted, right? Mm-hmm. So you can be one, two, or three. But when you get there, you got to play. So the number really, it means something to families and friends and to sports, you know, Sports Center and different like that. But at the end of the day, Michael Jordan went three.
Yep.
Paul Pierce went 10. Kawhi Leonard went 15. Like, we do get enamored with the number, but when you get there, that work ethic has to come out again to go right back up to the top. And so, like I told Scoot and all our prospects, we're not playing for the number that's next to your name. We're playing for you. We're playing so you can stay in the NBA for 10 to 15 years. And so all the draftees are well represented. They're all very talented. But I tell all the Ignite prospects, we're not trying to chase a number. We want to go to the team with the right fit that's going to allow you to grow as a player so you can stay in the NBA for a long time. And I wish nothing but success to all the athletes that's about to get drafted.
When you study Scoot's game on the tape, right, and just looking at his skills package, the way that his pace, the way he plays in pick and roll, his mid-range game, his ability to finish and explode to the basket, the way he can guard at the point of attack defensively, there's all these different skills that we could point to that impress the hell out of me. And I don't remember evaluating another guard like him. I haven't been in the game for forever. I've been trying my hand at scouting for the last 12, 13 years, but there hasn't been, in my opinion, a guard quite like Scoot to come into the draft. What do you think his upside is in the NBA, someone who's coached them now for a full 2 years?
Well, all the guys he's been compared to is warranted. You know, the Derrick Rose, the Westbrook. But as he's continued to grow in his vision and feel and his rebounding, he almost remind me now as he got older. Well, I won't say older, he's only 19. But in open court, he got that J Kidd to me, Jason Kidd. He likes to rebound and push.
I love that.
And he pushes with speed. And he's unselfish. You got to think, Scoot had the name, you know, obviously since he was 17. He could have came back to this year and just shot every shot, right? But he didn't do that. You know, he was understanding and growing as a basketball player. And he's learning the impact that he has when he creates and get his teammates involved. And then people must not forget, Scoot Henderson is only 19. We've been talking about him from 2 years like he's 22 years old. So his upside is still crazy. And I just think people kind of forget because his name was hot last year. So you get a new name, which is great. But at the end of the day, when you get drafted, it doesn't matter the number. Jason Tatum probably should have went number one.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter now, right? Nobody talking about where he got drafted. Now people talking about where he can be, all right, where he's going to be. Just same with Nikola Jokic. He was second round. So that number, like, again, we make it's the draft and everybody want to talk about it. But at the end of the day, school work ethic will allow him to continue to get better and do great things once he arrives in the NBA.
I'll never forget that. Arguably, the best player still standing in the playoffs was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. I will never forget that. That's one of the best moments we had.
But that's facts. And like the people who draft, they make mistakes too. They're human. We just can't, you know, put just because you're an NBA front office, you're not a basketball god. You make decisions, right? And so the basketball god is God. He the one at the end of the day has the final say on who's going to be good. And so teams make mistakes all the time. Jokic probably should have been number one. He should have been talked about like Wembanyama, right? And so he's showing you right now that whatever pick you go, it don't matter. You know, he's a first bat at Hall of Fame the day he retires.
These subtle shots, though, Coach. I'm a 76ers fan. I'm a Philly guy, man. The Joel Embiid, James Harden, you bring up Jason Tatum. I'm trying to just make it through this podcast. Oh, well, over here.
Danny Ainge is one of the best.
Oh, I mean, he is.
At the end of the day, no disrespect to Markelle Fultz. He's going to be a good player, and he's bounced his way back. But at the end of the day, you got to really study this game and study these players and watch them inside and out. And don't allow other people's opinions to sway what you see. The game now has grown, and so now we have analytics, which is great. But if you just use analytics, that take away the human element. That doesn't tell the type of person he is. That doesn't tell the type of friend he is. That doesn't tell his heartbeat. So, you know, when it was pre-analytics, no analytics, Magic Johnson went number one, and Olajuwon went number one, and it was just regular basketball decisions with your eyes. And I think we got to get back to that.
Oh, 100%, Coach. Come on. You are this man is preaching on this podcast today. I love it. So let's talk about one of my favorite stories in this entire draft class would be Leonard Miller, right? Yeah. So Leonard Miller comes to your program after testing the NBA draft waters last year. And because he tested me in a position of scouting, I had to go back. I had to watch some of the tape in Ontario, and I had to evaluate him as a potential draft pick. And I studied his tape very closely, and I looked at him and I said, I don't think this guy's fully ready yet. And he played in the combine. That was kind of the outcome that came to be, right? He wasn't ready yet. So very experimental player, wanted to try a lot of things, had the ball in his hands a lot in Canada in high school. And he comes to your program and he embraces a completely different role, right? He embraces doing the little things and being a hustle player, playing with a very high motor, rebounding, crashing the glass, running the floor. And because of that, he fit in incredibly well, but he also was given an opportunity to produce in ways that certainly impacted you guys and helped you guys win the games that you did. But also, it really improved his draft stock because it showed, well, this is what he can do at a baseline. And all of that other stuff that we did see flashes of with Ignite, it's still there. He's still so young. He can still get better. So that story of embracing the role that you need to, right, and then still having that ceiling to be able to develop into something, it's just a great story. What have been some of your favorite moments in coaching Leonard, and what have you seen in his development, and how can you speak to his character?
Well, as you alluded to, in high school, Leonard Miller played point guard. Mm-hmm. Now you come to a program, Ignite, that's getting you ready for the NBA. That probably won't be your position. And so for me, it wasn't just to sit there and tell him what you're not. I would never do that to any of my players. What I had to do was build a relationship with him so he can trust me. You got to think, these guys, they have their own inner circle. I don't know them prior to them coming. Mm-hmm. And so it just goes to show you that he trusted the process and relied on the information that we was giving him for his development. At the end of the day, our program is about developing. And I, you know, Leonard, you can't play the point guard here. You still can dribble the ball. We want mm-hmm. you to do that. But we got to focus on ways to make you look good so you could become attractive to 30 NBA teams who are looking to draft you. And that's all we try to do, is put these guys in position to what the NBA deems a draftable player. He bought in. He was a great young man, high character, high class individual, and he trusted the process. And so he wanted to score. So these are the ways you can score. And he bought into it, and he figured out that. And last year, Dyson Daniel was my player that took the biggest jump. Mm-hmm. And this year, Leonard did, but Leonard's jump was bigger than Dyson's. And so it's a testament to his work ethic, and him believing in the Ignite process.
Leonard strikes me as the type of player you want to have on your roster at the next level, because at the end of the day, teams just need someone who's going to muck things up, right? Someone who's going to crash the glass at a very high level. Someone who's going to be able to block shots and play passing lanes and guard multiple positions at a high level. Yet, I still haven't seen on quite a number of boards, and I know you're not about the number 100%, but I still haven't seen him jump up to where I feel, you know, at some point, you just have to take a guy who you trust to come in and do the hard work, right? Like, how do you feel like Leonard's value should be seen around the league in the different situations he can come in and impact? Like, how do you see him fitting into the NBA once he gets drafted?
Well, first of all, I on my own board, since everybody have a board, so I played in the league too. I played high-level basketball. I have my own board too. So Leonard, to me, is a lottery pick, right?
Okay,
so
yep.
Your eyes may not be better than my eyes, but I respect your opinion, and people can respect mine. He's a lottery pick to me. And so I feel when he does get to the NBA, his game will translate to Lamar Odom Light. He has the same ability, same size, same left hand, same everything. What he does right now at a high level today is rebound. Mm-hmm. He rebounds and runs the floor. Two things that young bigs need to do regardless if they're getting the ball or not. So those are two things right now today that he can bring to an NBA team. As he continues to get stronger, understand the NBA game even more, his game is going to take off, because he's a multi-dimensional forward that can pass, dribble, and shoot. And with his size, he can easily slide to the five, and that gives his team.
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah, that gives his team versatility. It gives him versatility, but it also allows him to do multiple things on the court to where in the end he can help his team get victories.
Yep, that small ball five or backup four.
You say small ball five. Leonard measured last year Chicago at 6'11".
Yep. So and he's going to keep getting bigger too, which is the crazy thing, right?
So 6'11" is not small ball. Like Draymond Green 6'7", that's small ball.
Yep.
Leonard Miller is 6'11", and he's a 19-year-old young man. So by the time he's 24, 25, if you watch the body of Giannis, if you watch the body of Anthony Davis, you watch Chris Bosh as they continue, even Lamar Odom, as you get older, your body is going to get bigger and stronger for your new job. And so what we're looking at Leonard today, in 2027, he's going to be a totally different basketball player with the same skill set. And so he's a scary one. Again, I'm biased, you know, when it comes to my players. And I just think that whatever team does draft him, they're going to get a special talent and a very special young man.
No, I agree 100%. He came in, he did his job, and he produced 17 and 10 in any league. That's going to get you drafted, right?
Period, point blank. And he didn't, like, again, no disrespect to college. I went to college for 4 years. I was a college assistant coach for 8-9 years. The talent level that these guys are doing it against are different than other players.
I absolutely love the opportunities that prospects are getting with Ignite. I'm happy in general that something that's coming with the new CBA is the international draft, right? Guys from overseas are going to be able to have a chance to play in the G League for multiple years, just like what you guys are doing. That I just love the opportunity that's coming in to basketball right now in general at this level. So another player who I have a first round grade on, in my opinion, I think has a very legitimate shot to go inside the top 20, would be Sidy Sissoko, right? And he's a player, not many knew about him before the draft cycle started, but once he got a chance to really showcase what he could do for Ignite, boy, 6'7", 6'8", wing, who can handle the ball, one of the best live dribble passers in this class, period, right? His vision off the dribble is crazy. His defensive ability, his versatility. There are so many different things he can do on the court. Even if I'm not as confident in his consistent scoring today, I think that what he has shown is that he's going to get better at that. And if he does, he just checks so many other boxes for an NBA team, right? But what has it been like to watch Sidy's development within your program? And what do you see for him both now and in the future?
Well, he was on point with your eval. He's a big wing that scores in transition. He's an open court scorer right now. His three-point shot is streaky, which is normal for any 18-year-old. That's normal. That's nothing. There's no alarm
so
on that.
I brought up this to Pooh when I had him on, and actually in a conversation off the podcast as well, we were talking about some of the research I've done over the last about 5-6 drafts, and the average three-point percentage of players coming in is usually about that 30 to 31% mark. So it's not 34 to 35 like everyone would ideally want it to be. These guys aren't coming in to the NBA always shooting the lights out. So it is something everyone gets better at.
I mean, it's the last skill that you develop. Now, some people do come in with it, but that's nothing but reps and time, you know, in the gym. But CD, you know, obviously he's a high-level passer with tremendous confidence in his passing ability. He has a mean streak. When I say a mean streak, when he drives to the paint, he's using his physical body to try to punish the defender. And so one of the most impressive things about CeeDee is he's very athletic, which people don't – well, now they're starting to, you know, realize it. But he was second in the G League in dunks. And people say, mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you're 18 years old and you're getting dunks versus 25, 26-year-old, that's a huge thing. Right. And so that's what he's going to bring to an NBA team. He has a world of talent, but he's very creative. And as his game continue to define and he continue to get more comfortable with America, the language, a team going to get another steal. A European big wing that like to pass. That means every team need one of those because he's a ball mover. He's not a ball stopper.
Absolutely. So there's one play that he did this past year. I will never forget when I saw, I was actually watching the game live. I'll never forget when I saw this. So he grabbed a rebound, looking to push the ball in transition. Defender met him at the free throw line, hit him with the slick behind the back dribble, went full speed, accelerated down the court and posterized somebody else. on the other end. If that's not a testament to how athletic this guy is, I don't know what is, right? So,
and so when people see that clip, they'll say, oh, it's just the G League. Like, and you won't give respect to who's in the G League. It could have been on Jordan Poole, that would have made it right. It could have been on James Wiseman, that would have made it okay. It could have been on Gabe Vincent, who's playing for the Miami Heat, would that have been okay? It's like people disrespect the G League because it's the minor league, right? Only reason why we created this league is because it's not enough NBA roster spots. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's not enough NBA roster spots. So they created a place where young players can develop. But he did that at 18 years old. And so I just think when that 18-year-old turns 25, he's going to continue to grow. How much better will he be from 18 to 25 years old is actually scary.
He could certainly take an astronomical leap within a few years within the right program to develop the skill set that he has and give him opportunities to further grow.
And absolutely, a lot of teams got to do, like, you got to develop as well. It's, you know, every team is not developing their draft picks. That's just – be clear, like, it's no disrespect to no team because the NBA is an honor, but, like, let's just be honest. Every player that get drafted, first round, second round, they're not getting developed, and they end up in the G League and a team move on for them. So it's not everybody having this elite-level programs where they're turning out second round 35th picks into rotation starters. And I just think that we got to get back to some of that.
One of the best things that one of my mentors, Coach David Thorpe, says all the time is that there is talent everywhere across the NBA. There's talent in the G League. It's about coaching them up and empowering them as players to continue growing. I love that. Love that answer.
That's why we got to give Coach Eric Spoelstra in Miami. He's playing with four non-drafted guys. And so my thing is, none of those guys got drafted, but this summer they're all going to be a lot of – teams are going to try to sign those guys over their drafted guys. And so we got to start eliminating those mistakes and drafting these seniors and draft what we see.
Coach, you've done this podcast thing one a time before, certainly, because that was like the most brilliant segue into the last player who we can talk about, who you got to coach. Mojave King has become a deep sleeper in this 2023 draft. I know I've certainly held on to some stock. One of our other guys in No Ceilings, Tyler Rucker's, held on to some stock, but a lot of people don't really have him inside the top 60 of their boards. Now, he is playing out at the combine this week. He's getting a chance to show NBA teams that the shooting slump that he had with you guys, some of what even went back to his days in the NBL, it's just a slump. At the end of the day, he's still a shooter, high-level cutter, sees the floor well on both sides. He still has something to prove in this combine. So you just talked about why it's important to evaluate all talent, not just who can go in the first round, talent all the way out to whoever else has a chance to go in the combine and beyond. You have to evaluate everyone the same. Why should people stop sleeping on Mojave King, and what can he bring to an NBA franchise?
Well, I don't think people are sleeping on him. I think the NBA world knows who Mojave King is. He's got, like all young players, he has to continue to refine his jump shot and become a more consistent shooter. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, find other ways to be effective and make yourself a draftable player. Like you said, he's a high-level cutter with a tremendous vertical. I think he had a 42-inch vert yesterday in Chicago. And he got to be, you know, continue to get stronger, bigger, and become a dog on defense. These things will carry you through games when your shot is not going. And so if he continue to work on his weaknesses and understand who he is and what he needs to do day in and day out, I think he'll be fine. Because at the end of the day, he's a three-year pro. He played two years in Australia and 1 year with us. And so that's what you're getting with somebody named Mojave King, a three-year veteran of the pro ranks.
Absolutely, Coach. We've talked a lot about these players. We've talked about your experiences and things that you value that I can certainly see are coming out of these players by the way that you're coaching them. But is there any other parting words, any last things you want to say about the Ignite program in general, where it's at now, where it's going, anything at all you want the audience to know about what you guys are doing with Ignite?
Well, with the Ignite program, is fairly new. I mean, you got to think the program's only been around for 3 years. And anytime you have something new, people are always going to take shots at it because it's not the norm. But now we're recruiting against Carolina and Duke and all the blue bloods. So it's an uncomfortable situation because people don't know about it. So if you don't know about something, you just talk negative to it. But we're going to continue to grow and build and develop young men character-wise, making sure their mentals is correct when they leave our program, making sure that they understand it's more than basketball. And then obviously people don't know that our kids are in school. They take online classes at Arizona State. And when they do go on to get drafted, their degree is paid for. So anytime they want to stop and take classes, that's up to them. And that's at their discretion and time, but we do pay for it. And so you can be a one and done at Duke, or you can come be a one and done at Ignite. We're going to still look out for you. This is their alumni. And at the end of the day, we're producing high level talent, you know, from Jalen Green, to Kuminga, to Dyson Daniels, Marjon Hardy, Scoot, Leonard Miller, CeeDee Cisco, Mo King. Like, it's a place where a lot of talent and people have to recognize that we're over here doing some good things. I'm just happy to be a part of the program.
I agree wholeheartedly, Coach. This is certainly a program where, despite any skepticism people may have, the program's working, right? Guys are coming out of this program better. They're getting drafted, and they're producing at the NBA level. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, right? Making sure these guys are ready to come in, contribute from day one.
That's what it's all about. Nothing else matters. Just being able to be ready day one in the NBA, and that's my job, and that's what I take pride in doing.
Absolutely. Well, Coach, this was an honor and a privilege to have you on this podcast. So thank you for taking some time to speak with me today. And certainly thank you, everyone out there, for listening to this podcast and all the others we have on the No Stones NBA podcast feed. You can find it and subscribe wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Most importantly, make sure you're locked in to NoStealingsNBA.com. Written draft content every single day, Monday through Friday. By the time you're hearing this podcast, it will have already been lottery week. So you have big boards, you have mock drafts, you have everything brand new to check out with everything that was going on with the lottery. But you can find me on Twitter at DraftDeeper. You can find No Ceilings on Twitter at NoCeilingsNBA. Until we meet again on this podcast feed, thank you all so much for listening. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week.